Hello, hello, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Live by Design podcast. I am so excited to bring today's episode to your earbuds because I created this episode just for you. Anytime somebody new joins our free Facebook group community, which is a place where we all come together and choose to live by design and not by default together, there's a couple of questions I ask as you join. And one of them is if there's anything that is heavy for you to carry right now, whether it's emotionally, mentally, or physically taxing. And it's been really beautiful. And I'm just so grateful for the way everyone has been sharing with such openness and honesty and vulnerability. And it allows me to create podcast episodes specifically addressing the areas where we're all feeling a little bit of that weight that we're carrying. And this through line that I've been seeing recently is over this topic of guilt, whether it's mom guilt or guilt over taking time for yourself, guilt over prioritizing your own wants and needs and desires, and this refrain again and again about this difficulty in finding, like, quote, me time. And in knowing that there was a need in our community to talk about releasing that feeling of guilt and being able to just move forward with a little bit less weight on your shoulders, maybe even being given permission of sorts by somebody that it's okay to prioritize yourself, I went searching for the perfect guest. And when I discovered our guest today, I knew she was literally the perfect person for this conversation. So Val Jones is a fellow podcaster and host of the Selfish Woman podcast, and she is a certified professional coach. She is on a mission to redefine the word selfish and to prove that when women make themselves their number one priority, it will catapult them into the adventure of a lifetime, one that will leave them breathless with excitement, astonished at what they're capable of, and in all of the magic that life holds for them. I mean, I don't know about you, friend, but I am, like, literally so here for that. And I cannot wait to bring this conversation to your earbuds. I had the best time recording with Val, and her insights are so incredibly beautiful. But before we dive right in, I'd like to take a minute to thank today's sponsor, Blissoma. You may have heard me mention them earlier this week because these products are my new favorite part of my morning and evening routines. Starting and ending my day with just a few minutes of self-care not only makes my skin feel and look radiant, but it's a small reminder to myself each time that I'm worthy of self-love practices and for carving out the time to love myself well. And yes, that even extends to my skincare routine. I love being an on-the-go kind of mom, and with that comes a desire to have clear skin that only needs a quick swipe of mascara and a bit of lip gloss to feel ready to take on the day. After literally years of searching for the right product line, I finally found it with Blissoma. This woman-owned small business marries phytochemistry with your personal biology to organically address the root causes of skin problems. Within my first month of using this line of products, I can already see reduced redness and fewer acne blemishes, which is such a relief. So if you two are ready to embrace a skincare routine that makes your skin feel and look incredible, then I encourage you to use code LIVEBYDESIGN, all one word, for 30% off your trial skincare set today. So with this trial skincare set, you are able to get 5 items for less than the price of 1 full-size product. You get to see what a full routine can do for your skin. So not just washing your face or not just putting on some lotion, but a whole step-by-step process that you can do in less than 10 minutes. And it gives you about 2 weeks of product, which is the optimal amount of time for you to start seeing and feeling results. They also make fabulous holiday gifts. So whether you want to gift it to yourself, your best friend, or your mom, you can use code LIVEBYDESIGN for 30% off your skincare pack today. And if you're not sure where to start, you can get personalized help from Blissoma's team of trained experts through their complimentary holistic skin consultation. It's a $45 value that is a totally free resource for you. There are links below in your show notes or visit misskatehouse.com/Blissoma to claim your 30% off coupon code today. That's misskatehouse.com/BLISSOMA and use code LIVEBYDESIGN, all one word, for 30% off your trial skincare set today. Now on with the show. Hey friend, and welcome back to the Live by Design podcast. I'm your host, Kate House, health coach, yoga instructor, meditation enthusiast, slow but steady runner, boy mama times two, wife to my college sweetheart, and unapologetic advocate for you living your dream life. This is our space to come together and explore powerful habits, mindset shifts, goals with soul, self-awareness, and lifelong learning, all while cultivating joy and practicing gratitude each step of the way. So pop in your earbuds, press play, and together, let's live by design and not default. Hello, Val. Welcome to the Live by Design podcast. I am so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Kate. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited for our conversation. But before we jump into it, I would love to know more about you and how you show up in this world and how you serve. And I know you're the host of the Selfish Woman podcast. So I'd love to hear more about that and just who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, totally. I do have the Selfish Woman podcast. I started it last November. So I just started season two, which is super exciting. And I'm a coach for women. And so I help women to burn the rule book and everything that's been holding them back and figure out how to release themselves and uncage themselves from all the constraints that life has put on them, or the patriarchy, or, you know, all of those things, and then reconnect with themselves and then rebuild a future from a place of authenticity and truth. So that's what I do. And I love it. I love working with women. It's just become such an amazing career, just helping other women to find that life that turns them on, that makes them excited to get up every morning. And so that's my thing. That's what I do.
I love that so much. Everything you say resonates with me. I'm over here. People can't see me because this is just audio, but I'm like, yes, yes to all of this.
Jazz hands. Yeah,
exactly. So I find that oftentimes we share from a place of personal experience. So I would love to know more about what was kind of the brainchild, or what was the experience that brought about your podcast? And I know you had an experiment that you did yourself. So I'm curious if you could tell us a little bit about that, because I know it will set the perfect foundation for the conversation we're going to have specifically about combating mom guilt.
Yeah, totally. So I am a mom. I have three kids. They are all grown up now and adults. Like, I'm done with the parenting. Now I can just be their friends. So that's really amazing. But yeah, I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years and I didn't have a degree. I didn't have a career. I did a lot of different things, but I was a mom. I loved it. I loved being a stay-at-home mom, even though it was super hard. Of course, it was amazing. And then I got divorced from their dad, my ex-husband, after 24 years of marriage. And at that time, I was starting to become a coach. I was in therapy. I was doing a lot of deep work on myself. And then I got married again, like 2 years after, I'd say. I got married again. And we moved to Spain. And we were living in Spain for a couple of years. We built a historic apartment, renovated it, like living the dream. We had the Instagram worthy life. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, I was miserable. I was really unhappy. Our relationship was not what it appeared to be. It was emotionally abusive. There was a lot of toxic. Can I swear on here?
Absolutely.
bullshit, I was going to say, that was going on. And, you know, I kept thinking, like, I have skills. I should know how to fix this. And I was doing all the work to try to fix myself or fix the relationship and figure out what was going on. And nothing was working. And I was just going deeper and deeper into depression and confusion and uncertainty. And I didn't see a way out. Like, it was a really dark time for me in the midst of a really externally beautiful life, an amazing life that we were living. So it was a weird dichotomy to be feeling this way and a lot of guilt that came with how I felt, because I didn't really feel like I had a legit reason to be struggling so much. Mm-hmm. And that took me to the beginning of 2020. And I have a group of friends that I met through a leadership retreat, a year-long leadership retreat. We remain friends and we have a ritual at the beginning of every year. We get on a call no matter where we are in the world. And, you know, we connect and we talk about the year and what is your word for the year? You know, we do that whole thing. And that year, as the call was coming, I was really like lost. And I was like, well, I don't know what my word is for 2020. I have no clue. I can't see what I'm going to do tomorrow, let alone the whole year. But as the call started getting closer and closer, this one word kept coming up and it was selfish. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't pick that word. Like, that's not a good word. That's everything I don't want to be. Like, I was raised to be the good girl, the people pleaser, the nice one. And I had lived that role my whole life in varying degrees. And so selfish felt so anti everything that I had been conditioned to believe was what a good woman should be. But the word wouldn't leave me alone. And so I got on the call and I was like, I don't know, you guys, like my word is selfish and I don't know what that means. And they were like, cool, I can't wait to see what happens. So after I got off the call and after I'd said it out loud, I started to really think about it. And I was like, well, okay, so if selfless didn't work for me, being less of myself, let's say, and that wasn't working, maybe it's time to try something new. And maybe I need to try being selfish, which to me meant full of self, more full of myself. And so I decided for a whole year, I was going to be selfish in every choice I made. And that's what I did. And so I called it my selfish experiment. And little did I know the journey I would go on as I launched into the experiment. It was incredibly life-changing.
That's so beautiful. I love how you take the word. I love how you share selfish and selfless and how you compare the two, because I know myself personally, I totally resonate with being raised to be the good girl, the high achiever, the perfectionist, you know, making everyone else's life easier and putting yourself on a back burner. And how beautiful that you were like, you know what, I'm going to listen to my inner guidance. I'm going to like honor this word selfish and see where it takes me. So I'm curious, over the course of your selfish year, what did that look like? Like, and more specifically, not just what did it look like, but what did it feel like for you?
I love that. It felt terrifying. Because what I quickly realized is in order to be selfish, you have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And I came face to face with the realization that I didn't know myself like I thought I did. So the first thing I did was I booked a trip from Spain where we're living. I booked a trip back to Canada to hang out with my kids for a while. Cause I was like, all right, my first selfish decision is going to be to go back and just take some space and hang out with my kids. I went to Paris on the way. So I thought that sounded good too.
As you should.
As you should. And then I came back to Canada and I was staying in Airbnbs and just kind of hopping around, spending time with my kids. And I started talking a little bit to them about my experience in my relationship. And, you know, it's always a tricky line with adult kids, but I really had nobody else. I'd been so isolated. So I started just sharing a little bit. And that's when my son said, Mom, this sounds like emotional abuse. And I was like, what? You know, and I started really starting to see what was really going on in my relationship. So that was kind of the first thing, is I had to reckon with what was really going on and the hard truth of my relationship. And then I went and lived on an island for a month, because that was something I'd always wanted to do, but I talked myself out of it over and over again. I'm like, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. It's like, okay, well, selfish sounds like living on an island for a month. And while I was there, the pandemic started. And then by the time I got off that island, we were in lockdown and I couldn't go back to Spain, even if I wanted to. And the universe had me right where she wanted me, because I couldn't leave. And so I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm staying here for a while. So I rented an empty apartment and I sat there for the rest of the year, bought a few pieces of furniture. And that's when I really started coming face to face with myself and realized, I don't know how to make a decision if my life depended on it. I started seeing all of my codependency in ways I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And when I say it was terrifying, what I mean by that is, I had to realize that in order to be selfish and full of self, I have to know myself. I can't make decisions from fear and doubt and anxiety and conditioning and programming and all the stuff. I have to really know my inner being, I call it, my true self, and make choices from that place. And that was terrifying, because it forced me to face a lot of things I hadn't wanted to look at in myself. And so that was the big feeling, I guess, of that year, was terrified, but also excited, because I knew at the same time that I was on a mission, an adventure to uncover the real me in ways I'd never had before. So I came up with a new word. It's terexcited. And it's, I think it's the sweet spot of life where you're terrified and excited. You know, this is going to be amazing. There's going to be amazing growth for you when you feel both of those feelings.
Yes, I love that. I always say that I know when I am making the next right decision, when like I get a little bit of butterflies in my stomach and like my palms get a little sweaty and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, this is, yeah, exactly. Like parasiting. Like that's exactly what it is. Yep. So what did that process of self-discovery look like for you? Like what were some of the more tangible things that you did that you felt like you were really starting to uncover or discover yourself again?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of time by myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time in silence. And I always say to women who, you know, want to do this, but they're like, I don't have time. It's like, yeah, I had a year, which is, you know, the extreme, but you can always find time to be on your own in, you know, 10 minutes a day or whatever. But for me, it was like almost a year of isolation because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I, even though I was close to friends and family, I wasn't seeing them. And I was sitting in an apartment by myself. So I spent a lot of time alone. So that looked like meditation. I started meditating daily and just sitting, you know, they say the hardest thing for people to do is sit with themselves in a quiet room. Mm-hmm. I did it. And I sat in that fire of discomfort of being alone, and meditation became something that I fell in love with on a deeper level than I ever had. I journaled every day. I just journaled and wrote everything that was going on, everything I learned in meditation, everything I was noticing, everything I was angry at myself for. I journaled all the time. And I walked a lot. I started walking every day, and I say walking saved my life, and I don't even mean that in a joking way. Like walking became something that was a way to connect with myself in a way I never had before. Some days it was angry walking. Some days it was skipping. Some days it was, you know, just feeling really peaceful. But walking was a huge part of that practice. So those three things were the main things I did in order to start to connect deeper to myself.
That's beautiful. You're so my people, because like meditating, journaling, and walking are some of my very favorite things. I went through an experience in the summer of 2022 this year where my brother passed away. And the most healing thing that I did was just take myself on these 1-2 hour long walks where I would just, and I love how you say like angry walking or skipping, you know, some days I'd listen, I tried to match the intensity of my feeling with the music I listened to. So if I was like really angry, I'd listen to like Eminem or like truly angry music, right? Or if I felt lighter and brighter that day, I would listen to something that mimicked that. And it was a really important part of the healing process. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And so here we are now, 2022, and you've had that whole year of selfishness and really getting back in touch with yourself in such a beautiful way. What is it from that experience that you wish you could share with other women that you learned about yourself or in that experience that would encourage them to do the same, even if it's not, you know, a year of isolation, right? Because hopefully we never have to do that again. but if there is something that they could take away from that experience that you had, what is it that you would say to them?
I think the thing that I always say is remember that transformation happens from the inside out. And we're so wanting the external change. We want the changed relationship, or we want to lose the weight, or we want to make more money. But it has to happen from the inside out if it's going to be lasting and authentic. And so doing the inner work first and allowing yourself to go through that transformation within will then bring results. And for me, I started seeing results the next year in 2021. I ended the relationship. We'd spent all of 2020 working on it. We were in therapy. We were really trying to make it work. In 2021, I made the choice to end that relationship. Then I lost 55 pounds the next year. I moved to Vancouver, you know, for the first time living downtown and getting my own place. And then my business started really evolving and changing. So I saw results after that year. Second year was when I saw the external change. So I always say, like, whatever it is you want in your life, start within first and start reckoning with yourself and dealing with your shit and healing and cultivating a relationship with yourself. And then you will start to see the results. And that's how it happened for me. And that's what I think everyone needs to be reminded of, that because it's so easy to just get fixated on the external.
Yes, absolutely. It's such a beautiful reminder. It makes me think of James Clear and Atomic Habits. He has this graph. I'm always talking about graphs on the podcast, and I'm like, maybe I need a visual medium, but he has this graph in the book where he talks about latent potential. And it's this idea of in the horizontal axis, it's time. And the vertical axis is like seeing the growth. And it starts off in like the first two thirds of the time, you know, you're horizontal, you're doing the work, you're doing the inner work, you're going for the walks, the journaling, the meditating, right? Making those selfish decisions to connect with yourself. And it's not until two thirds down the time scale that things start to shoot up in terms of seeing the results, right? And I think what you just shared is such a beautiful example of that, of pouring into yourself and doing that inner work. And then a year later, you see it, right? We live in this instant gratification world. And sometimes we forget, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the time.
Yeah, exactly. No, I love that. I love that. I think I've seen that graph. It's so true.
Yeah.
And it's the patient, you know, slow, daily, consistent action that gets the results. And I always say, like, a revolution does not come with fireworks and a parade. It comes with like daily, consistent action over and over and over again. And, you know, as far as connecting to ourselves, that's definitely what it requires. It just requires us to keep showing up for ourselves every day.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, that's a perfect segue in terms of showing up for ourselves. And the reason I wanted to really have you on the show is, one, to hear your story, because it's so powerful. I got goosebumps like three different times while you were talking. And I also wanted to invite you on because we have a Facebook group over at misskatehouse.com/community for anybody who wants to join, but it's our free insiders Facebook group for the Lit by Design podcast. And as people join, there's a couple questions they answer. And one of the questions I ask our incoming members is, what is something that feels heavy for you right now, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, like what feels heavy? And the women who join this group, like, it makes me get choked up just thinking about it, because they share with such, they're just so vulnerable. They're so honest. They're sharing about what is hard. And more than a few people have said mom guilt. And I was like, wow, what a powerful thing to have you come on and talk to us about, because I've certainly experienced mom guilt, and I've worked really hard at not feeling that, right? At being like, I can be mom Kate, and I can also have these other facets of my life that don't revolve around my two little boys, right? And knowing that that's really important to nurture and to lean into. But I love bringing somebody on who has such vast knowledge in this area. And so, Val, in your experience, especially with this this selfish experiment, I think I love this idea of reclaiming the word selfish. So I'd love to hear what your insights are in terms of feelings of mom guilt and things that we can start to do, tangible things that we can do to start to release a little bit of that so it feels a little less heavy for us to carry.
Yeah, absolutely. I have so much to say. Some of it you may not want to hear, but I'm going to say it anyways. Yes, mom guilt is a thing. It's a real thing. Guilt is a real feeling. And most of it is from our conditioning. Most of it is from our programming. So depending on how you were raised, if you were raised to be the good girl, the people pleaser, the nice one, the perfectionist, whatever it was, your brain created programs, neural pathways that slide you right to guilt town. And, you know, a lot of us were raised on guilt too. So, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of baggage that we come with, and living inside a patriarchy, like there's just so much conditioning around what a woman should be doing. And the shoulds are always a clue that you are in guilt, because if it's like, I should be staying home, or I should be going to work, or I shouldn't be, you know, taking care of myself, like that is your clue that you are in guilt. And so we need to first wake up to the reality that this is a program in our brain. That's it. Like, yes, we have all the other things we can talk about, inner child trauma, like all of that. But bare bones basic, it's a program in your brain. I like to think of it as a super highway for women, of like super highway to guilt. So you have a trigger. Maybe you have to go to work and leave your kids at home. And before you know it, your brain is zooming down the highway and you are in guilt. And I kind of think that it's a comfort zone for a lot of us. And that doesn't mean it feels good. It feels terrible, but it's a really familiar place to go. Mm-hmm. And it can be a little bit of an addiction because it's so freaking easy to go to guilt, even though we hate it. It's like, think of how easy it is to just zoom over there and we don't even question it. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, I'm just feeling guilty. Okay, well, let's challenge that. Let's look at why. Number one, all right, that is a program in your brain that is operating in your subconscious, which we can change, but we got to see it first. Mm-hmm. And then we got to challenge it. We have to challenge that guilt. Do not indulge it. So what I always say is ask yourself two questions, because there's healthy guilt and there's unhealthy guilt, right? Healthy guilt means I did something wrong and guilt is alerting me to that so I can make it right. That's healthy guilt. Mm-hmm. Unhealthy guilt is I feel like I did something wrong, but I didn't. Mm. That's useless guilt. So we want the healthy guilt. We need that, but we don't need the unhealthy guilt. So I always say challenge it. Number one, did I do something wrong? Like actually ask yourself that question. Am I doing something bad? Usually the answer is no. Okay. So now we're calling out guilt for what it is. It's a lie. And once you can see it for what it is, that it's a lie and it's not true, you can start to allow the subconscious to release its hold on it. So, you know, the more you just challenge it and you don't just sit in it as if we don't have anything we can do about it, we need to get our power back over our minds. We need to get our power back over our experience and be like, no, I'm not going to let myself do that. Even though everything in me is telling me I should, the should is my clue. Did I do something wrong? And if not, what could I feel instead? What could I tell myself instead? What is true? And that's the second question. What is the truth? Maybe the truth is I'm doing a really good job and it's not easy and I'm doing the best I can. And when you start to create a new narrative for yourself about truth, you can start to access new feelings like peace and comfort and connection and safety. So that's sort of my tough love approach to guilt. And I think that for me, it definitely works. And it comes back to the being a selfish woman is like, in order to know what's true, you have to be selfish. You have to spend time with yourself. You have to give yourself time to slow this down and challenge your thoughts and maybe journal about why you feel guilty and ask yourself if it's true and connect to your inner being and ask her, because guilt lives in our brain, but your inner being knows the truth. Your intuition knows if you are justified in feeling guilt or if it's just a load of bullshit and the truth is something that's far more loving and compassionate.
Yes. Oh, Val, that's so beautiful. Yeah. I don't know why it is that we always jump to being so critical of ourselves. Right. And so I love this, my community, we seem to really like this tough love approach. we're like, give it to us straight. You know, I love that analogy of a highway. As you were talking, I was imagining like, when we start to create that awareness, that first layer, and we talk about that on the podcast all the time, and especially in the collective, my monthly women's group, we're always like, first step for everything, awareness. So mm-hmm. I love that you touched on that. And in my mind, I'm a very visual learner. And so you're talking about this highway and I'm like, okay, yep, we took the on-ramp onto mom guilt. But then we start to like, we find ourselves in the shoulds and I'm like, okay, those are like rumble strips, you know, it's like,
I love that.
Yeah. So there's like a rumble strip. And then like, we ask ourselves like, you know, our next question, and maybe that's like a caution sign. And then eventually when we get to like, you know, what isn't true and what is true, that's like our off ramp. Right. And maybe if we rewire these thought patterns enough times, because you're absolutely right. I mean, there's brain science behind this, right? Like, yes. Everything, we're creating these synapses and these connections, and it's a matter of rewiring. And the really cool thing to me is that through repetition, through using this process of creating awareness, asking ourselves these questions, and connecting with our truth, we can create new connections. We can create new neural pathways. We can reprogram ourselves so that we don't even get on that highway. We take like the scenic bypass.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, you're speaking my language. I love all of this because it works. It's like, you know, if you go to the gym every day for a month, you're guaranteed you're going to get fitter. You know, you're going to get results. No different than this. If you do this work, you're guaranteed to get results. Yes, it requires consistency and action, but it works. And I'm a living testament to that. I used to sit in unworthiness and victim a lot. And when I started challenging that program, I started downloading something new. And what I decided I wanted to download was I get to be happy. Mm-hmm. And I just started telling it to myself before it felt true. And this is one thing that's really important is a belief is a thought you think over and over until it feels true. So it's not going to feel true at first. It's going to feel like hokey woo woo bullshit, but you've got to just keep saying it until your brain submits and creates that new program. And one day in my selfish year, I was going for a walk and I probably told myself I get to be happy, like, I don't know, 200 times at that point, like every day, challenging my victim program. And this day I went out for a walk and I got like just around the block and I said, like, I deserve to be happy. And I stopped in my tracks because the way I said it was like a full body yes. And it was the first time I'd ever experienced it like that. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was overwhelmed with happiness. And I was like, I did it. I feel like I created that neural pathway and it's like there. And that's the feeling is like, do the work. And then one day you'll have that little connection of like, oh my God, it feels true. Yeah. And that's when you know that you have that new access, that new highway. And eventually the guilt highway will just become a little dirt road that you barely use.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. It's this idea of identity-based behavior change, right? So let's do a fun little exercise. So what was it that you told yourself? I get to be happy or I deserve?
Get to be happy.
I get to be happy. Okay. So let's go back and forth and say different things that we get to be to like give listeners some inspiration. So mine would be, I get to feel free.
Ooh, I love that. I get to be wealthy.
Yes. I get to be enthusiastic.
I get to be sexy.
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. I get to be strong.
I get to be free. Did you say that one?
I did, but it's so good.
Okay, we should all say it. I just love it.
Another one that comes to mind for me is I get to be still, but not just still, like a contentedness. I get to be content.
Yeah. I get to be peaceful.
And then I think my last one would be, I get to be fulfilled.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. My last one would be, I'll get emotional about it because it just hit me the other day. You know, one of those hits, like I just described, I was in the elevator in my building and I was going up and, you know, I'm hosting my first women's retreat. We were talking about that and it's coming up in 2 weeks. And, you know, I've been in so like, you know, go mode, planning mode. And then I was in the elevator going up and it was like, oh, like I'm a leader.
Oh, you know?
like I'm a leader. And it was like, it just was that full body yes of like, I get to be a leader, which is like, so the antithesis of the good girl conditioning and the selflessness. And it was like this, whoa, like I feel like I'm really getting embodied into that one. So lengthy explanation, but yeah, I get to be a leader.
Oh, that's so powerful, Val. Thank you. That was really fun to do. I've never done that with a guest before, but I was like, I think this could be really fun to do together. So Val, speaking of you being a leader and being someone who helps women really step into and owning themselves and getting back in touch and just showing up for themselves in this life, where are the best places to connect with you online? Because I know everyone's listening and they're like, Val's a badass and I need her in my circle.
Come into my world. It's fun. So I'm actually have a thriving TikTok community.
Awesome.
And I just fell in love with TikTok in February. It was another experiment of mine. I was like, let's see what this is like. I now have 52,000 women in my TikTok community. We have so much fun over there. So come find me there. It's Val Jones Coaching. You can find me on Instagram, Ms. Val Jones, M-S Val Jones. And I have a Facebook group called the Radical Women Collective. And we are fiery women who are doing all the shit. And, you know, you can look on my links in all my bios. It has all my stuff. You can sign up for my newsletter. And if you want to get in on the next retreat, you can let me know. Any of my group programs. I have also some courses you can take. I've got like a boundaries course. I've got a manifesting money course. So yeah, just like find me and you'll find all the things.
Oh, thank you so much, Val. And for everyone who's listening, I will drop links to all the places to connect with Val in your show notes below. So you can just click right there and get immediate access to her. And be sure to add the Selfish Woman podcast to your listening queue.
Oh, yeah,
as
the
well.
Podcast too.
Yeah. Just all the things, right? And so Val and I are having so much fun. We're each hosting one another on our respective shows. And so it's always so fun to have these conversations because we get to see different sides of one another as the host and as the guest. And so when Val's episode drops, I'll be sure to drop that in the show notes below too, so everybody can check it out. Well, Val, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I had so much fun with you.
Thank you so much, Kate. This was a blast. I loved hanging out with you and talking with you and all your amazing people.
Thank you again, Val, for joining me for today's podcast. I had the best time chatting with you. And friend, I hope that this episode served you and gave you permission to make yourself a priority, to move forward with a little bit less weight and a little less guilt on your shoulders, and gave you permission to just make your life and your experiences, your desires and wants and needs a priority again. There are links below in your show notes so that you can connect with Val further. And another special thank you to Blissoma for sponsoring today's episode. Again, you can go to misskatehouse.com/blissoma to learn more about these incredible products that I have been using personally and are making my skin feel incredible. And don't forget to use code LIVEBYDESIGN for 30% off your trial skincare set today. All right, friend, that brings us to the end of another Live by Design podcast episode. I had so much fun diving into today's topic with you, and I hope that you are walking away with at least one little nugget of information that you didn't have before, or one action item that you are going to start implementing in your life starting right now. And speaking of implementing change in your own life, if you haven't already joined our free community Facebook group, I would love for you to become a Live by Design podcast insider. You can join us over at misskatehouse.com/community to be automatically redirected to a Facebook group all focused on releasing overwhelm, getting unstuck, and finally taking aligned action in the direction of your dreams. We have such a beautiful community of kind and supportive people there, and I can't wait for you to join us. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you would first subscribe to the show through whatever listening app you prefer, and second, to rate the show with 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 1 or 2 sentence review. That is seriously the kindest way that you can thank me for hosting the show week after week, totally for free, serving you from the heart with so much love and so much heart. I will be back in your earbuds again soon. And until then, friend, spread some joy, make someone smile.